This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Over the last two decades, the Christian right has exerted an extraordinary influence on U.S. politics. There are now more than 70 million evangelical Christians living in America, many of whom have established their own set of media outlets, schools, and communities. A large majority of evangelical Christians embrace a conservative social agenda with a focus on moral values, quote unquote. But a small minority of that group have started a radical movement that is working to create an intolerant and theocratic version of America. My guest is Chris Hedges. He's was a foreign correspondent for nearly two decades for the New York Times and other newspapers. His book is American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for spending some time with us. It's a terrific book, and I have to tell you, living here in Charlottesville, I think it's a very Jeffersonian book, and for that, I applaud you.
Well, thank you.
Tell us what the book is about and what folks can learn by reading it.
Well, first of all, it's not an attack on the Christian religion. I come out of the Christian faith. I grew up in the church. My father was a minister. I graduated from seminary at Harvard Divinity School. It is really an attack on these people who have fused Christian iconography and Christian language with the iconography and language of American nationalism to create what we, I think, could properly call in biblical terms as a form of idolatry. That notion that we have been anointed by God to create a Christian America, that fusion of secular and spiritual power, something that I watched when I was a war correspondent in the former Yugoslavia tear the country apart. It is really an assault against that, an attempt to delegitimize that. I don't think there's anything Christian about it. As you said, the people who are calling for this Christian state do indeed constitute, I think, a small minority within the Christian community of the United States, but they're very powerful, very well-funded. They control most of Christian radio and television. They've taken control of mainstream denominations such as the Southern Baptist Convention. They have set up Christian colleges and schools. They've received hundreds of millions, upwards, some people say, of $2 billion of taxpayer funding from this administration. So they're powerful. They count on the sympathy of roughly 80 to 100 million people in this country who define themselves as conservative Christians. And they really, in the last three decades, have moved from the fringes of American society into the centers of power, into the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of American government.
Chris, we often hear you can't turn on a radio, or especially AM radio, or cable television without hearing that there's a war on Christianity and that Christians are being attacked in America. And if I hear you right, this is what you're saying is that in fact you're simply calling on Christians to be true followers of Christ and not blindly following the marching orders of religious leaders.
Exactly. I think Paul Tillich had a wonderful theologian. Paul Tillich once wrote that all institutions, including the church, are inherently demonic. Religious institutions are human constructs. They're not divine constructs. And I think if there's, one message that Christians should get from reading the scriptures, it's that we must appeal to our own conscience. And that oftentimes appealing to our conscience sets us at odds with the rest of the world, and certainly, as in Jesus' time, often the very religious institutions that are prominent within a society. There's a certain amount of anger in this book, but it's the anger of somebody who came out of a Christian household and who has seen, in my mind, charlatans and con artists manipulate the despair of tens of millions of Americans, first of all, to get wealthy. I mean, people like Pat Robertson, the man is worth hundreds of millions, some people say up to $1 billion. And now, of course, to use that despair to try and take political power. And that just seems to me completely contrary to to what the Gospels and what the call of Jesus is about.
Chris Hedges, his new book is American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. Chris, in your book it says that the ideological architecture of Christian fascism is being cemented in place. Tell us exactly what's going on behind the scenes, because that's where you spent your time researching this book. Tell us about this engine of this movement that you saw firsthand.
Well, I mean, let's take the issue of creationism. You know, first of all, the writers of the book of Genesis knew nothing about the process of creation. You know, they thought that rivers were above and below us. They thought the earth was flat. God created light on the first day, the sun on the fourth day. The writers of the book of Genesis were not trying to explain the process of creation. They were trying to explain the purpose of creation. They were trying to explain a spiritual truth, not a scientific or historical fact. And I think this purpose or this spiritual truth is something they did know about, which is why Genesis, indeed why the Bible, is worth reading. But they have perverted this to twist it into a kind of strange pseudoscience that says everything in the world was created in 6 days and that dinosaurs lived at the same time as human beings. I, in the book, visited in Kentucky this $25 million creation museum where they have animatronic dinosaurs that roar, and the dinosaurs are cavorting in a replica of the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. But, of course, they were all they were peaceable, and it is explained in the display that T-Rex had such big teeth because T-Rex opened the coconuts and the watermelons, and then there's a display of Noah's Ark, and we're asked the question of how did Noah get the dinosaurs on the Ark? Well, Noah put baby dinosaurs on the Ark. I mean, it has an absurdist quality to it, and yet this kind of mythology is now being infiltrated into our public school system. And the question is why? Well, the reason is that it is really an assault, or part of a widespread assault, on dispassionate, honest, scientific, and intellectual inquiry. It is a way of saying to children and to a public that facts are interchangeable with opinions, that in essence lies are true, that you can believe whatever you want to believe. And as soon as you put creationism on the same platform with legitimate science, you are eroding the legitimacy of science itself, and of course allowing believers to view everything in the world around them through this distorted ideological prism. This has filtered down, all the way into Christian schools, Christian colleges, as I said, into public schools. There's a bill now in the Texas state legislature that would ban all mention of evolution in school textbooks in Texas. And it's a way of removing us from a reality-based world and putting us into a world that where facts are when they're inconvenient or just discarded, and that by its very definition is totalitarianism. So on many, many fronts, this movement is making an assault against the open, pluralistic, democratic society in the name of Christianity.
Chris Hedges is a graduate of the Harvard Divinity School and a former seminarian. He's a senior fellow at the Nation Institute and teaches in the Program for American Studies at Princeton University. We're discussing his new book, American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Chris, the Christian right often makes the case, and quite loudly, I might say, that it's liberals who hate America. Liberals want to destroy democracy. They want the terrorists to win. They want the troops to lose. They want the buildings to fall. They hate everything about America. But you're arguing something that we don't typically hear in the media. And your point, we certainly almost never hear on AM radio these days, that this faction of the Christian right actually is the one that actually hates democracy. What is it about democracy that the Christian right has a problem with? And flesh that out for us.
Well, in a democratic open society, there are other ways to be. For a democratic society to function, it has to embrace mutual respect and tolerance. including of people who are outside the nation and outside the faith. And that is something that the totalitarian masters of this movement cannot accept, because in order to accept that premise, then they give legitimacy to people they cannot control. And this is a movement where you must be subjugated completely to these figures who claim to speak for God. There is no questioning. Any kind of questioning or doubt is seen as, you know, part of the forces of Satan to lure you away from the movement. The power structure that they lay out, if you look closely at the family, it is, of course, the male, the dominant male, the subservient woman, and the compliant or obedient children. Well, that power structure is replicated within these mega churches, which have a kind of cult of personality around these male figures, and it is to be replicated in the community at large and ultimately the nation. Everything outside that system has to be demonized in order for that power structure to be propelled forward. If they were to step out and say, well, you know, Jews have just as much religious legitimacy as we do, or, you know, they can't even tolerate other Christians. I mean, people like me would be dismissed, as people like D. James Kennedy and James Dobson do, as what they call nominal Christians. And in their very twisted and narrow worldview, the only legitimate voices are the voices they define as Christian. All others must be silenced or converted. And that, of course, it runs completely counter to the very ethos of an open democratic society.
Chris, it's interesting that the same process over the last 15, 20 years has taken place in the Republican Party itself. A lot of more moderate Republicans have been pushed out of the party, and, you know, you're not a real Republican.
Yeah, well, they've all but taken control of the Republican Party. And, you know, they present themselves as traditional Christians or traditional conservatives, but of course they're not. No traditional Republican conservative would have ever run up the deficit, for instance, that this president has run up. You know, traditional conservatives were not enemies of science. They were not enemies of honest intellectual thought and self-criticism. So I think that that's just another tip-off that what we're seeing in this movement, although, of course, it uses the comforting language of traditional Christianity and traditional conservatism and traditional patriotism, it has a frightening and radical agenda that, unfortunately, it's you know, gone very far over the last couple decades in promoting.
Chris Hedges, his new book is American Fascists. Chris, there was a time in American history where some might argue the situation was worse. We had the federal government putting In God We Trust on our money. We had the creation of a pledge that required that school children get up and pledge their oath and their lives to a flag and a God. What is it about this situation now, here in 2007, that you feel makes it so much worse than previous periods in American history?
Because with all of the religious revivals that have beset the country, start going all the way back to the 1740 with the Second Great Awakening, none of them have called for the assumption of secular power. This is new. This is different. You know, traditional fundamentalists always called on believers to remove themselves from the contaminants of secular society and to avoid political involvement. Traditional evangelical leaders like Billy Graham were always warned followers about getting too close to political power, and he himself came to Richard Nixon's defense during the Watergate scandal, something he has spent the rest of his life regretting. And what we're seeing now, through as articulated in a popular form by people like Pat Robertson, is this call for a quote-unquote Christian America, and we've never seen that before in the past. And I think that's what makes this movement radical and different, and of course it's ruthless, and it's very well funded, not only in the money they amass through this parallel media empire that they've set up through Christian radio and television, but through corporate interests that love this this brand of religion, because it really is, as Karl Marx said, an opiate. If you you know, all your jobs are outsourced and you don't have health insurance and you know, things aren't going right, you know, it's just because you don't have enough faith. Once you have enough faith, you'll be taken care of. And that, of course, is removing you from a reality-based world into this world of magical props.
Chris Hedges was a foreign correspondent for nearly two decades for the New York Times and other newspapers. His book is American Fascists. But, Chris, we often hear a lot of very conservative members of the Christian right say, this is a Christian nation. Don't you get it? This country was founded on Christian principles. And to deny that is just you're living in la-la land if you don't recognize that this is a Christian nation.
Well, that, of course, is just part of their rewriting of history. And you mentioned Jefferson. I think these leaders are, you know, most conservative Christians would probably consider Thomas Jefferson to be a heretic. These people were, for the most part, deists. They believed that God was found through nature. They were very wary of anything that could lead to a theocracy. They worked that's the whole concept of the separation of church and state. They had seen or were very aware of the religious repression that had been carried out by the Puritans in the colonies, and of course the religious wars that had torn apart Europe for over a century. So the last thing they wanted was to create a quote-unquote Christian America. And I think when you go back and read the Federalist Papers or any of their writings, that's made abundantly clear.
It's interesting that one of the very famous Thomas Jefferson quotes, "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man," 1800. Not many people know that that quote was made in direct reference to efforts of the Christian right at the time to get too involved in politics and sort of steer the ship of the country.
Well, even in the 1930s, Roosevelt banned these Christian organizations from the public airwaves. And that is what caused the formation of the National Religious Broadcasters Association that managed to get themselves on the airwaves. But there was always a great wariness, or often a great wariness throughout our history, of empowering, groups that advocated a very narrow, absolutist, and particular goodness that excluded the possibility of other ways to lead a moral and religious life.
Award-winning author Chris Hedges. His book is American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. Chris, thank you so much for spending some time with us, and congratulations on the book. I think it's terrific.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.